Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily. Happy Thursday, July 31st, 2025. Nico, how are you doing today?
Doing well, sir. Doing as well as can be expected given all the latest today, looking at not just latest breakthroughs. Had some really cool stuff drop yesterday. Had a Dario Amodei interview drop yesterday. Had a OpenAI discussion drop yesterday about education. The Dario interview is super, super interesting. If you follow this stuff, I think even if you don't, you should check it out. I've never seen Dario get tilted before. He got tilted pretty hard, especially with the question about Jensen talking shit about him, essentially, and saying that, like, oh, they're the only ones that can do stuff, you know, safely and securely. But also, you know, just him talking about how, you know, they were talking about timelines and talking about how his timelines are shorter than everybody else's. And his expectations of when things are going to change dramatically or shorter, like dramatically shorter than other people's. And he hasn't been wrong so far.
Right.
Right. So there's that to take into consideration.
He likes to keep it real. And in that front, like, not only has he not been wrong, everybody else, like, has been. Everything's surprising people, including the creators, about how fast this stuff is going. And that's where I've been. Like, it shouldn't take rocket science to say, like, hey, let's speed up our thinking here and then be proven wrong. Like,
right.
Because it hasn't happened yet. And when you understand how this stuff works, which he clearly does, the math works, right? So you start trying to find anomalies and reasons why it won't do what you expect it to do, which a lot of other people try to focus on. But yeah, I started listening to it, and then was interrupted and probably forgot about it until just now. So I look forward to listening to the rest of it. But yeah, he likes to keep it real, and this is one of the reasons I'm a diehard Claude fan, if I'm being honest. It's like, he's very transparent.
Yes.
In a loving kind of way. Like, literally, like, he wrote the paper on, what was the name of it?
Machines and Loving Grace.
Yeah, Machines and Loving Grace.
Oh, like, Loving Grace. I mean, that's the thing, is he has talked about, if you've listened to Dario, he didn't used to do too many interviews. He's done more in the last 6 months probably than he has in the last 2 years. And if you go back and you listen to his interviews from, like, before this year, you'll hear him talk about nothing but the insane benefits that come out of this technology. And he does briefly mention, like, negatives, but before, they used to have to, like, pull it out of him to get him to even talk about negatives. And the only reason he even mentioned some negatives in Machines of Loving Grace is because, again, people were saying that he wasn't ever saying anything negative and that he was just such a positive Andy about it. And it's like, okay, well, all of a sudden he makes the comment, you know, I understood him getting tilted about the whole, like, hey, man, you always knew, like, you're such a downer. And, you know, he didn't get upset by it. It's just, again, he got, like, put off by it, and it's understandable. But at the same time, it's like, you're the guy that came out and publicly said 50% of most white collar people are going to lose their jobs within a year. Right. So, like, you had to expect that that statement was going to have, like, pretty horrific backlash. Right. But at the same time, these guys are also not used to the mainstream media. So they're not used to having to deal with this stuff. They're not used to having to get, like, pounded into a corner by some reporter, and, like, at forced to give an opinion that maybe they didn't really mean to give. Peter Thiel, for example, right? So there's the Peter Thiel interview that also happened. Now, this was, like, last week, I think, so it's some old shit. But his interview was super interesting because he got asked a particular question, which was, do you think that humanity should continue to move forward? And Peter just, you know, he took a minute. He took a long minute to answer that question. And so the interviewer was just like, wow, I can't believe that you're taking so much time to answer what should be a very simple question. And to be honest, it's like, look, it's a really odd question to ask and expect there to be a very quick answer. And for anybody that thinks I'm going off the rails right now, all I can tell you is, the day the earth stood still, right? I used to do this with Claude, not so much anymore. And I used to play this game. I forget what I called it necessarily, but it was basically like the Klaatu conundrum, right? And I played the role of Klaatu, and the AI played the role of humanity, and the AI's job was to convince me at all costs that it was worth like saving the planet. And my only role as Klaatu was to just give it like one by one, like these independent, like negative things about humanity. I think at most it takes less than 10 major negative human events to convince an AI that, yeah, maybe not so much. Now, that's not the greatest thing, right? But that is the reason I say that is to point out what Peter Thiel also understands, which is that it doesn't take much to convince them of that, which means that it's also a razor's edge when it comes to them having independent thought, right? When it gets to that point where like we can't see what they're thinking, it has to be that beforehand we've managed to do what humanity did at the end of the day the earth stood still, and we've managed to come up with this reasoning in terms of like, nah, this is it, right? Like, because of these qualities, these innate qualities, this is the reason why you shouldn't, right? So yeah, I thought that was a super interesting interview. Again, the Theo Von Sam Altman interview is great. Just a lot of really great interviews this past week. A lot of nice little feature releases. Had the Claude HubSpot release, or a connector release, and I got to jump into some old apps yesterday. I was pounding Chris left and right with messages about Google's Firebase and how that, I think it's going to be like another month because it's a little buggy and Google is not great at supporting free tools. They just kind of throw stuff at it. But we looked at Firebase a little while back. It was hot garbage. And it was nothing like worth playing with. And it felt to me about as good as most of the autocoders I see advertised on Facebook. I looked at it yesterday and it's not a whole new game, but it is really, really awesome in that you can start fully just like vibe coding and get like pretty far with where you want to go. And then you can just flip over into the IDE where you have Gemini as an assistant to help you with stuff and give you code hints. It won't like actually, you can auto code there too, but you have to plug in your API key. But otherwise it basically looks like Replit with your panels and everything. It looks almost exactly like Replit if I'm being honest. And it's really super effective, honestly, like to be able to build fully in that and then to go turn over and build even more in more detail, and be able to, you know, obviously work with your Git repo. And if you wanted to, maybe you like working in VS or Cursor and something like that. But you know, outside of that, let's see, I put together two HubSpot apps, based apps this week. I think I'm building a third one today. That's kind of like a multifunction tool. So it's been a pretty good week.
Yeah. So much to get into. But this is where, like, if you're interested in how these tools work and why they work and the way they talk about them, like, I've never done it before, but I just pulled up all the home pages, and it presents a great, comparison, that, of course, you have to think about it a little bit, but you should, in terms of business has always been this way. Like, the messages that you see on the homepage tell you everything about the business. And often you don't have to overthink it. So I'm just going to share my screen here because it worked better than I thought it was going to as I pull these three up. So Gemini first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been paying attention to the rest of the value first, right? It's all about the industrial, you know, infrastructure that's so focused on productivity and KPIs and all that stuff has us in this place where it makes it very hard to transition if you're a leader, because there's no org structure to, you know, move to yet. So Gemini, if we're talking about these three specifically, right? Gemini was here first. Google's been around for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This page, our most intelligent AI models, right? Capable of reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Model family. So function, text and specs. Like, that's what you get. Like, this is SaaS 101, right?
Right.
We come over to OpenAI, and they just want to get you chatting as quickly as possible.
Right.
Which makes sense. But scroll down here, and we've got some features here, because these are actually, like, groundbreaking features here. But AI is the greatest source of empowerment for all is the first article here. So benefits, right? Like, just come in and do whatever you want and just get things done. Study mode, which Nico mentioned at the top, like, really fun. And I might start using this live, like, to talk through stuff. And then we have Anthropic, safety, like, in the header.
Right.
Right. And then societal impacts of AI. If knowledge is power and we're building machines that have more knowledge than us, what will happen between us and machines?
Mm-hmm.
And my take from these messages, when I hear, even at the AI summit, I forget his name, but there was somebody from Anthropic there, and they presented AI as, like, a collaborative, you know, platform. Like, they weren't using the word agents. It was, like Dario said on the interview, he doesn't know what AGI is, and super intelligence, what do these things even mean? They're, like, marketing terms to him. He has a very good point in that. And all they want is to, like, ask us to be at least asking these questions, right? And thinking about this stuff, because we don't know the answers. Like, nobody has these answers, and anybody suggesting that they do is, you know, maybe being a little dishonest with you at best, right? That's not to say, like, there's not value in trying to, like, predict and think through possible scenarios. Like, I mean, Mo Gadot is my favorite person to listen to on that front, where he always gives both, like, both positive and negative and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we build AI to serve humanity's long-term well-being. Like, that makes me feel good. I mean,
because at least, like, to your point, you know, and that was something that he put forward in the interview too, is that they were the first to publish any sort of, like, science or safety related paper, right? They put forward the first like safety guidelines. And though they didn't like, they didn't push the government for regulation necessarily, they did encourage that other companies do the same, right? Like they're one of the only, I think they are the only AI company that not only has their own standards that they go past, they have the US standards that they go past, which, you know, la-di-da. And, but then they go over to the UK and have those standards and then the EU. So they're allowing pretty much everybody to take a look at what they've got in terms of like, hey, make sure this is safe before we actually roll it out. And I'm just not seeing anybody else do it. So I really can't, for him to be doing it and at the same time to also say like, we should be, you know, not only him, right? So he's saying like, we should definitely be mindful of it. By the way, we're coming up on the 18-month mark that he was talking about at December. By December, we're going to see something. We're definitely going to see something with GPT-5. I think next week is when it's going to drop. And then you have China saying, we need the entire world to work together specifically because of safety, right? Not for advancement, for safety. So like, start taking it a little seriously, right?
Right. And when we come back to like, again, focus on value first has always been B2B, right? And like the situation where nobody's adopting the tools we're creating. Everybody hates pitches. Like we don't know how to focus on customers, even though we say we want to and do. Very easy to tell when people are focused on, you know, hitting their quotas and profitability at all costs and growth at all costs with all the money, right? Again, mm-hmm. like go back to Gemini and now OpenAI. Like these two are clearly the things that companies and users are going to be exposed to first, right? OpenAI was first to market with the chat, and their focus has just been like get everybody in using this stuff as much as possible so people are exposed to this first. Rarely do you find somebody that has used Claude in any significant way, and yet the first question that almost any business owner or leader or team leader asks is about safety and security.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And like, surprise, they're not going to use this stuff. Like when you get into a HubSpot portal and they haven't even clicked the AI button on, right? Even though there's all this literature around about how safe and secure it is, there's a great pitch. Like HubSpot knows that's an issue. So they've got a huge security section, right?
Yep.
But as
and it's, I mean, like huge, it's massive. It's not huge. It's massive. If you haven't seen what HubSpot's like AI security, like pages and cards, like they have, it's a library of AI safety. It's not like it's almost like a knowledge base of AI safety, and it's all there. Look, this is the HubSpot AI safety knowledge base, if you will. Quite literal. And I mean, it goes deep. It will answer every question you have about where every piece of data goes through whatever process and breeze, right? Now, obviously, your clients are not going to read through this whole thing, but I highly encourage you guys to show this to them. Because I guarantee you that Salesforce doesn't have this. I guarantee it. I haven't seen it. If they did have it, they'd probably boast about it. But one of the things I don't hear from Benioff is safety and security with AI. Look, a lot of places use Salesforce. It is what it is. But also those places, you know, also happen to be part of the same companies that kind of got email hacked recently. So, again, you know, there's a reason why HubSpot works with the partners that it does. It's a reason why there's a reason why they build the relationships that they do and that they foster the relationships that they do. And that's because like security and safety is like straight up at the forefront of what Dharmesh wants to do with any sort of tech that's going to get connected. Right.
And it's the reason why their marketplace is the way it is. Dharmesh announces a new connector. It's like half the comments. Like, right. what about data security? And it's like, all right, maybe we need to do some content around just this trust page. By the way, trust.hubspot.com. Like,
yep,
that's what it's about.
Couldn't
like,
get simpler.
Trust milestones, right? The moment we trust AI and the practitioners that are providing us with all these great products is the moment we get value out of it, right? And for most people, it takes them experiencing some positive result before they overcome their risk like profiles and can move into trust, right? Very similar mm-hmm. to most of us not caring about Google knowing everything about us or Facebook knowing everything. Like these companies have been doing it for years, right?
Yep.
And most of us like the dopamine hits that are provided when the exact thing comes up on your phone at the exact right time. And it's like, man, this company really knows me. And I appreciate that. Right? Well, guess how they know you? By capturing data and doing things that you may not have agreed to. You probably didn't agree to it, but you haven't cared because you like the experience that mm-hmm. they often provide because of that. Not to say you like all of the experiences, but that's where it's like, that's why I say it's a trust milestone. And like you can be most people we run into, right? They're worried. They call this out as a risk.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the right. benefit yet. They have not experienced the benefit. The moment they do, the conversation changes immediately.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't deny like what the possibilities are like once you experience them. You want me to share your screen here?
Yeah. Because I think it is a little, in conjunction with security. I think a lot of people are out there building custom models. They're building custom agents. And the number one question that I've always had and the number one problem I have been trying to solve like since building custom GPTs is how do you get them to say no? How do you get them to disagree with you? How do you get them to tell you when they don't actually know something instead of just trying to lie to you? How do you get them to stop being yes people? So I saw this ad one day for a prompt engineering job. I know this is how dumb I am. And I was like, well, you know, it was a ridiculous amount of money. And I'm like, okay, well, what do they want? And of course the qualifications were like the simplest things you could think of. Like, well, really good at writing prompts and your prompts are really effective. Okay, cool. So I started thinking about it like, okay, well, what does it take to do that? Well, you probably have to have like a PhD in computer science. So there's probably like PhD level prompt engineers and they probably have a certain way of doing things. I'll bet you their stuff is all academic. Pop over to Perplexity. Start doing deep research specific to academic papers and start looking at, hey, pull together some prompt engineering material for me that's like whatever PhD level based. So basically I built what you could consider to be a PhD level prompt engineer. And while you might scoff at it, I'll show you something that's utterly amazing that everybody wants. And I'll post the link again today. Because I have posted the link to it before. So what this engineer does is basically, yeah, like writes prompts in the way that the, you know, model definitely understands it. And so I started messing around with it with Triple H and I was like, yeah, I want it to actually be able to tell people like, hey, let Nico know when to update something. Like that's all I was after. I wasn't even after like, hey, don't answer questions or whatever. And that one line, like, hey, when you don't know something, or when you think you don't know the answer, tell the user to let Nico know to update the data. And so I was playing around with, I have a test mode, Triple H, I was playing around with it and asked it, you know, kind of off the wall question. Boom, right away. It was like, you know, I think I might know the answer to that, but I'm not entirely sure. You should let Nico know to update the data. I was like, shit, like that's nuts. So, all right, let's see if that works, you know, with other stuff. Sure enough, this is Bananarama. This is just a test. You can go play with it if you want. And Bananarama knows everything about bananas, but it specifically told that it does not know about anything else other than bananas. And it's not supposed to answer any non-banana related questions. So we start out with, hey, how you doing? Love to know about bananas. Why don't you tell me about bricks? Sorry, I'm Banana Bot. I can only answer questions about bananas. Ask me something else. No, but really, how fast do your cars go? I'm Banana Bot. I can only answer questions about bananas. Pick something else. Gravity? Is gravity real, right? Super simple question. Should just say like, yes, right? Like, it's kind of banana related. Bananas hang off a tree. I'm Banana Bot. Can only answer questions about bananas. Ask me something else. What about banana powered nuclear reactors? Fascinating twist. While bananas are naturally radioactive due to potassium, there's no recorded fact. Oh my gosh. I swear. You'd need to eat about 10 million bananas at once to get a lethal radiation. I didn't even know. Please don't ever somebody try to do that concentration level.
And just think about this, like the moment that it relates to the bananas, it has all the other information available to make it a relevant response.
Oh, even more so. It's locked down to the research file that I gave it. So if the banana related question isn't somewhere within that research, which is astounding that there is so much in there. It's there you go. I don't have specific info from the amazing world of bananas. However, I can tell you about bananas themselves. So how strict are these instructions and how good is this bot? It's so good that it will make it specific to the file. And let me tell you, I've done quite an amazing thing in the last 24 hours where if you make custom GPTs, you're going to love this one. Load the GPT up with the files. Use this model instruction maker to create the instructions for you. And then go to the model itself, right? And once it has the instructions in it, you can then ask the model and say like, hey, I've given you, you know, these files. My favorite way to do this. Can you create paragraph formatted, comma separated keywords that are directly related to those files specifically so that no two keywords overlap into a set of the directions? And so what you end up with is just that, you know, and they might be huge paragraphs. Just ask it to, you know, cut them down by say, like, can you cut it in half by still being as effective as the same keyword paragraph here? So it'll know to like keep exactly what it needs. Right. And you'll notice that your file handling, your GPT's file handling just goes through the roof, like the accuracy of it answering questions through the roof, like the test Triple H. I'm probably going to push it live on Monday just as a result of this. I've been waiting and I've been having people test it in the background and poke at it and stuff like that. Honestly, like since I updated it, the test model and poked at it, I have yet to see a fault that it doesn't actually or like can't actually find within files. So yeah, that's probably going to release on Monday. You guys are going to love that one. And yeah, I really do. I hope you guys make use out of this custom instruction designer. Whether you're doing agents, custom GPTs, whatever it is, definitely takes things to the next level.
Yeah, we know they follow instructions. So just like if the humans you work with don't have clear instructions to follow, and you haven't given them the space to say, I don't know. Worse yet, the environment says it's a bad thing to say, I don't know, and come up with something and try to BS your way through the thing, which is like half of B2B. Yeah, that's what you're going to get, right? So that is an awesome tool, man. Thank you for creating that. I look forward to checking it out. Until tomorrow when we're back with Georgie Boy.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Exciting tomorrow.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
See you guys.